You're listening to Trinity Fremont's Sermon Podcast, where you can hear God's Word preached each and every week. Our purpose at Trinity is to learn, love, lead, to reflect the light of Jesus. We pray that as you listen to this week's sermon, you'll be encouraged and equipped to live your life in such a way that others would see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven.
Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Throughout this summer, we've been walking through the Sermon on the Mount, and this is our second to last week. So next week, Pastor Rathke will wrap up Jesus' sermon for us. But each week, we keep going back to the beginning, because this is one sermon that Jesus preached. This isn't a bunch of little mini sermons, but it's one sermon that he preached. And what he said at the beginning impacts every part of this sermon and how we hear it. And so as Jesus began this sermon, he began it with these words, with, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven." Right? Blessed are those who know that there is nothing that they can do to earn their salvation, but instead they simply receive what God gives them. They receive his kingdom, and that shapes, again, everything that Jesus says in the rest of his sermon. And so Jesus continues saying that we are called to good works, but not in order to earn anything, not in order to receive even glory from the world, but to live in such a way that glory would be given to our Father who is in heaven. And then we're called to righteousness. Again, though, not as one more checklist that earns something from God, but the Father shows his children his good and gracious will. And then last week we saw that we're called to give, to pray, and to fast. But again, not so that we would earn anything. Not so that people would see us and notice us and praise us for our giving or our praying or our fasting. But Jesus kept bringing us back to these same words over and over. When you give, your Father who sees in secret will reward you. When you pray, your Father who sees in secret will reward you. When you fast, your Father who sees in secret will reward you. And Jesus was teaching us that your greatest reward is not the praise of this world. It's not even one more gift from the Father, but your greatest reward is your Father himself. And as your Father gives himself to you, he also is a Father who gives good gifts, a Father who loves you. And so Jesus continues into our text for this week, again, about those gifts. He says, "Do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal." Or even more literally, he's saying, "Do not treasure for yourselves treasures of this earth." And so what are your treasures of this earth? Maybe it looks something like this, right? Where doesn't this look really impressive? The things that we work for, the things that we save for, the things that we protect and hold on to, whether it's money or a house or a nice vehicle or a degree or an award or a collection of something. Something new and polished and impressive. Because then we can show off all the things that we've gathered, everything that we've accomplished, everything that we've managed to hold on to. But then time passes, and it gets a little more dusty, or maybe there's a little less money, or things don't seem quite as impressive as they used to. But then maybe 50 or 100 years from now, the new vehicle's rusted out and on blocks. The house is in desperate need of repairs. The award is broken off its stand. No one remembers the name that's on the degree anymore. The money was spent, or it was lost, or divided, or left behind. Because this is what earthly treasures do. They don't last. And we know that. At least we know that in our heads. But often we still live as though those treasures can promise tomorrow. We look at our money and we say, make tomorrow safe for us. Or we look at our savings and say, make sure that we're taken care of tomorrow. Or we look at our plans and say, guarantee the outcome tomorrow. Or we look at our own effort and say, make tomorrow happen exactly the way that I want it to happen. And these things aren't inherently bad. Money can help us prepare. Savings can be responsible. Plans can guide our work. Effort matters. But none of those things can guarantee tomorrow. Money can help you prepare for tomorrow, but it cannot give you tomorrow. A plan can guide today's work, but it cannot promise tomorrow's outcome. You can control your effort, but you cannot control tomorrow. But yet, even as you hear that, there's probably this voice in the back of your head that's saying, but maybe you can. Right? If you save enough, if you plan enough, if you worry long enough, if you think hard enough, if you run every possible situation through your head, then maybe you can keep tomorrow from falling apart. That's what anxiety tells you. If I can think about enough possible solutions or possible ways that tomorrow might happen, then I can have enough solutions for all of the possible problems, and then I can guarantee tomorrow. That's anxiety. And it's a lie. And to that lie, Jesus says, therefore I tell you, do not be anxious about your life. Now, if you're an anxious person or you've ever been anxious about anything, I'm sure you know how helpful it is when someone tells you, just stop worrying about it. Calm down. Don't be anxious about that. And to that you say, well, thanks. Hadn't tried that. Glad I came to church today to hear that one. But Jesus isn't simply telling you, don't be anxious. He's telling you why you don't need to be anxious. And in doing so, he gives us two pictures. First, he says, look at the birds of the air. Right? They don't plant fields. They don't bring in a harvest. They don't store up their crops in barns. Now, that doesn't mean, though, that the birds sit in their nests waiting for food to fall in their mouths, unless they're baby birds. They still fly around. They still search out. They still gather what is before them. They still do what God created them to do today. But they don't control tomorrow. And yet Jesus says, your heavenly Father feeds them. And then Jesus says, look at the lilies. Right? They don't control the sunlight, they don't control the rain, they don't control the soil, they don't try and work really hard, or they don't sew things together to make really nice clothing, but they simply receive. They receive the sunlight, they receive the water, they receive what the Father gives them, and then they simply become what God created them to be. They grow, they bloom, they're beautiful. Jesus says that even Solomon in all of his glory and all of his splendor was not dressed, was not arrayed like one of these lilies. And so by being what God created them to be, they are giving glory to their Creator. The birds gather what the Father gives them today. The lilies receive what the Father gives them today, but neither one of them controls the outcome of tomorrow. And then Jesus says to us, if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is alive and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you? Oh, you of little faith. Right, this is a rhetorical question. He's not asking, will he? He's really saying, how much more will he? If the Father cares about the birds, how much more does he care about you? If the Father cares about the grass and the lilies of the field, how much more does he care for you? You are not an afterthought in God's creation. Humanity is the pinnacle, the most important part of God's creation. You were made in the image of God. You are the one for whom the Father sent his Son. You are the one that Jesus came to save. you are the most important thing that God has ever created. And Jesus reminds you that your heavenly Father knows what you need. Not people in general, but you, he knows what you need, each one of you. And it's not merely God who knows this. Notice what Jesus says here. Your heavenly Father. The same Father that Jesus kept pointing you to over and over last week. Your greatest reward is your Father. And your Father knows what you need. But if you're not sure, if you're not sure if you can trust your Father for tomorrow, Jesus says, or God, wants you to look back at what he's already done. He wants you to look back at Israel, even in the wilderness, where they had no food and they had no way to make food appear. They couldn't plant crops and hope that they'd grow up the next day to be eaten in the middle of a desert. But yet every morning, God provided for them. He gave them quail, and he gave them manna. Now they still had to go outside, right? They still had to gather. They still had to work for it that day, but they didn't create the manna for the day. And they definitely didn't make tomorrow's manna appear. Instead, they received what God gave them each and every day. But there were some who weren't sure. Even then, there were some that weren't sure if they could trust God for tomorrow, that he'd do the same thing for them the next day. And so some tried to gather extra and leave it over so that they could make sure that they had enough for the next day. Right? Some left part of it till the morning, and it bred worms and stank. It spoiled. It was rotten. These people trusted the manna that they could hold on to more than the God who had given it to them today and who had promised to give it to them tomorrow. And even in their lack of faith, every morning, the manna proclaimed the same promise, that God kept his promise yesterday, that God is keeping his promise today, and that God will be faithful tomorrow. And so with that in mind, then Jesus says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all of these things will be added to you. Now, this is not one more command in order to earn the kingdom. One more thing that you need to do in order to earn it. Remember how the sermon began. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. The kingdom has already been given to those who could never earn it. And so when Jesus says, seek first the kingdom of God, he is not saying that you need to work harder, that you need to prove yourself, that you need to, that if you do this well enough, that maybe the Father will take care of tomorrow for you. But instead, Jesus is inviting us to live inside what the Father has already given to you. He's inviting you, instead of to looking in on yourself to see how you can provide for tomorrow, he's inviting you to look up, to look around you, to see that your Father is already your Father, that Jesus has already come for you, that the Son has already gone to the cross for you, that your sins have already been carried into the grave, and that your salvation has already been accomplished. And so you do not have to spend today trying to earn tomorrow. You just get to receive today. The lilies receive what the Father gives. Yes, the birds work. They go out, but they do the work that's in front of them for that day. The Israel, they gather the manna that was for them that day. And you too get to live in today. You get to enjoy the gifts that God has already placed in front of you. But also you get to notice the people that God has put around you. You get to respond to the needs that God has placed for that day. You can use your time, your ability, your resources, the ones that God has put into your hands today, without asking them to guarantee tomorrow. You don't have to spend today trying to earn tomorrow. And so as you consider that, I want you to think about one place. Not every place, but one place. What is one place where you are using your time or your abilities or your resources to try and control tomorrow's outcome? Maybe God's already placed something on your heart. Maybe you need some time to think about that. But maybe it's money. Or maybe it is your schedule. Try to make sure that everything, all the plans are in the right place. Maybe it's your children. If I can just control my children, then everything will be fine. Or maybe it's work. Or maybe it's your health. If I can get healthy enough, then I'll live forever. Or maybe it's something else. I just want you to take a moment, and I want you to think about it and write it down. There's paper in front of you, there are pencils in front of you. Write it down. Right? What is one place where you are trying to use your abilities, your resources, or your time to control the outcome of tomorrow? So I'm going to give you some time. Write it down. Now that you've got that written down, or you're writing that down, I want to ask a second question. What would look different today if you lived as though your father already had tomorrow? That thing that you wrote down, right? How might you use that gift, that time, that ability, that resource different if you lived what you know? If you live like it's not up to you to guarantee the future, what would you notice? What would you enjoy? What need could you respond to? How has God gifted you perfectly today for the needs of his kingdom today? And so whether it's on the other side of that paper or next to it or whatever, I just want you to write that down. What would look different today if you lived as though your father already had tomorrow? Just take a moment, write that down. That one might need to simmer a little bit. That one might need to percolate a little bit. Don't throw this paper away when you walk out the door. Right? Take it with you as a reminder this week. Right? Because it's not up to you to guarantee the future. It's not up to you. You don't have to anxiously try to control tomorrow. That's your father's responsibility. And he's really good at what he does. So trust him. Receive today what he gives you today. See the gifts that he has already put in front of you. See the people that he has placed around you. See the needs that are right in front of you. And use what God has given you today, what your father has given you today, to care for the needs of today. Your needs and the needs of those around you. And then trust that when tomorrow comes, your father will already be there. And he will still be in control. Just like he was yesterday, is today, and will be forever. Amen?